Elizabeth Esty, I know that you have spoken eloquently so many times about rail safety in the United States. People in your district who have gotten into terrible harm's way because we're not doing everything we can. And I know you've been frustrated on a number of levels, but how's that coming?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, a mixed report. We're making progress, not as much as I would want, but making progress forward. Last week, the House and the Senate both passed the compromise transportation bill, and I believe it's now been signed by the president. I think he signed it over the weekend. And it does have provisions dealing with positive train control, something you and I have talked about a lot, to do what we can to move that into place as rapidly as possible across all of the United States. It isn't as fast as I would like it to see it happening, but we are going to get it through Amtrak and the Northeast Corridor within the next year or so. And then there are some issues with freight rail in other parts of the country that may slow some of that down. But again, I'm going to keep pushing hard. In fact, last night I spoke to the Secretary of Transportation to congratulate him on this, but also to push on, and you may have even seen the last couple of days, reports about rail safety, literally the condition of the rails. So that's something I want our committee to really be looking at. Some of the concern with some of the derailments has been actually the condition of the rails itself. I should also point out that we had some really positive steps taken last week around tank cars, around hazardous material transportation, so whether that's Bakken crude or other hazardous substances. So there were some really important elements of the bill last week that was now signed into law that I worked on the rail subcommittee to ensure that we have safer tank cars and that we have much better information to local communities, better training in local communities for first responders so they know in advance if hazardous materials are coming through so that we can keep people safe. But obviously we need to have the conditions of the tracks themselves be safe, and that's going to be one of the next focuses of my attention.
Just because, and I apologize to our regular and wonderful listeners who listen to you all the time on this station, but positive train control, could you just give us a small primer on what that is?
Sure. Positive train control is like if you were to have an automatic braking system for your car that would sense that it's going too fast, starting to slide, and it would stabilize. It would take over control, reduce the speed, and stabilize it. So that's what positive train control uses, a GPS system to track exactly where the train is, its location, and its speed. Right. And if it's going too fast for the posted and authorized speeds for that section of track, it automatically takes over control to slow the train down. And if you think about that terrible accident outside of Philadelphia last year, that's what they needed for this, and the Spuyten-Duyvil accident as well. Train was going way too fast for that section of track. So again, it's sort of an automatic override that operates to slow trains down if for whatever reason, you know, operator error, operator falling asleep, malfunction of some sort, this then overrides that and slows the train down to an appropriate speed.
And while you're giving us some definitions, can you help us with what's in the bill that has just been passed that would help with dangerous oil cars?
Well, some of it is changing the requirements for what type of rail cars we have and having something called blankets. You can't believe the detail on this. Oh, my gosh, Alan, I've learned so much about incredible detail on transportation issues, but it's making sure that they have thermal blankets, so it's making sure that they're protected from the outside, making sure that they are double-hulled cars, so again, that's safer so that if in the case there is a derailment, they're much less likely to leak or worse yet, explode. Although the surface transportation bill is overwhelming about highways and bridges, it also has other provisions on rail. But I have to mention two exciting things that are actually important for our region that you might not think would be in a highway bill. And that is, one of them is dairy, and one of them is about pollinators. Do you want to hear about dairy?
Absolutely.
Pollinators? Okay, well, and dairy is actually a bipartisan Connecticut, New York operation. Richard Hanna and I were the authors of this amendment that we got through the House, didn't get it through the Senate, but got it into the bill at the end of the day, into the conference report. And it deals with the fact that in Northwest Connecticut and some other parts of New England, we have small family farms. and we have dairy farms that need to milk their cows every 8 hours. Well, not all of our states, and Connecticut is among them, has lower weight restrictions for all trucks. But this turns out to be a real problem for dairy operations because there's a standard size and they need to move the product every 8 hours.
Wow.
They've got to move really fast. And if you think about like a big bottle of Coke or something, and then when it's only half full, there's a lot of slosh. Like if you're trying to move it back and forth, it would slosh. And so it's actually dangerous, these trucks, if they go through not full. It's more expensive for the farmers. They can't clear their tanks out, but it also is less safe on the roads. That's in part why we were able to get an exemption to allow dairy product, because it's perishable and because of this issue about movement in the tanks, they actually can be allowed to be shipped full, which is safer and actually helps support our local dairy farms.
Pollination.
Well, as you've probably read, there are real concerns about a die-off of
bees.
Pollinator bees.
Yeah.
And there have been issues around the country. We're trying to figure out what's going on. There's looking at various pesticides and other things. But if you think of the size and scope of the American transportation system, of our highway system, it is an ideal location to have vast, vast tracts of land. So what this amendment does is authorizes and deputizes the U.S. Department of Transportation, when it's dealing with right-of-ways for highways, to plant vegetation that native species that attracts local pollinators. And so that's actually particularly butterflies, monarch butterflies in particular, but butterflies as well as bees. And so it may not sound like much, but when we are struggling and our farmers are struggling to figure out how they're going to pollinate their crops, this actually covers a great deal of land and could be very meaningful, actually, in help restoring the kind of habitat that pollinators need.
Elizabeth Esty, I've only got 2 minutes left, but I want to ask you real quickly. I heard on the news as we speak this morning that the price of crude oil is the lowest in God knows how many years, long time. And I'm wondering, what are the implications for us? Does this drive the markets down? Are we worried about this?
Well, it's an interesting question because, you know, it's a mixed bag. Obviously, for every consumer, low oil prices are good, right? That's
sure.
In New England, we've got people on heating oil. That helps affect heating oil prices. When we fill up our cars, that's less money taken out of our pocketbooks. And I'm all about saving consumers money. But it does have implications. It has implications when we know long-term we need to be moving towards more renewable fuels. So it has issues about that. One of the bright pieces about that is, frankly, it makes the oil that both Iran and that the ISIS-controlled territories have, that ISIS has and the controlled territories, it makes that a whole lot less valuable. It also puts a real dent in Putin's pocketbook. So to that extent, it's probably good for our national security interests, although may destabilize those regions. So it's a challenge in certain respects. It's a challenge in the geopolitical realm. It's somewhat of a challenge for some of our efforts around moving towards renewable energy across the board. But again, we've seen big fluctuations in oil prices over time, and we know ultimately that we've got to move towards a carbon neutral future if we want to help this planet be safe and we want to have grandchildren, great-grandchildren be able to live on this earth. So for a climate change perspective, we need to be moving anyway, but it does show why you want a diverse fuel source, and it does show how the Middle East and how Putin are going to have to, you know, think about another economic plan for their long-term interests.
Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty, Democrat, Connecticut's 5th District. Elizabeth, wonderful to have you with us. I am so proud and honored that you give us this time. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about opioids, okay?
Okay, great. Thanks so much.